Well, good morning, everybody. I have a question for you all. I want to know what you think of when you hear the word freedom. I want you to picture in your mind for a moment, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Okay, so maybe it's this. Yeah, that. Maybe it's, broken chains, right? Freedom from oppression. Or maybe you're a movie buff and it's Braveheart. It's William Wallace saying, they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. Yeah. No Scottish accent here. Sorry, I do not have that talent. I know for me, the first thing that I think about when I hear the word freedom is this picture. Yeah. America, right? I mean, because for me, I grew up here in America, and when you grow up here in America, you can't help but think of the words America and freedom as being synonymous. Because I remember as a little child, you know, in elementary school, the first things we do every morning is everybody stands up and you put your hand over your heart and you pledge allegiance to the flag, right? Liberty and justice for all. Freedom. And then when I was in elementary school back in the day, we still had choir. I don't know if they still have choir anymore, but we used to sing like all kinds of patriotic songs, like God Bless America and America the Beautiful and My Country, Tis of Thee, Let Freedom Ring, right? And then when I was in high school, I would go to the football games with my friends and we would go out there onto the field to sit on those super comfortable metal bleachers. And as we're waiting for the big game, just like every other sporting event in America, before the game starts, we all stand up to sing the national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. And I remember this moment at the end, there was a line at the end where everybody would start whooping and cheering and shouting when we sang, Land of the Free, right? Yeah, you guys know. You know what I'm talking about. And we're taught about all the wars that we fought to win our freedom of speech, our freedom of the press, our freedom of religion, our freedom to vote, our freedom from slavery. And that is what you learn about freedom growing up here in America. And I know that not everybody here grew up in America. And you might have your own version, your own picture of what freedom is like. So what does this type of freedom, though, this freedom that we're talking about, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're free to just, I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, wherever I want, all the time? I mean, technically, maybe. But that's not the freedom I want to talk about today. What I want to talk about is true freedom. And true freedom is different. True freedom means that you have to use wisdom in the choices that you make. It means that you have to be responsible for your actions. It means that you have to have respect for other people. True freedom is the freedom that we receive from Jesus Christ, right? And so today, this is the image that I want you to think of when you hear the word freedom. This cross, Jesus Christ, who died for us. So before that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for our freedoms. I pray today that as we hear your word, as we experience your truth, that we can experience your freedom, that we understand what that means for our lives. Lord, to know what you have called us into, I pray that everybody here listening online and in this room can hear it. Be open to receiving your truth without shame, without judgment, but all in love. In your name, Jesus, amen. All right, so let's talk about the freedom of Jesus Christ. Ephesians. We're going to be quickly in Ephesians chapter 1. It'll be up on the screen. Verse 6 says, "So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. God rescued us from oppression, from the slavery of our sins. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to shed his blood on the cross, to pay the price so that we wouldn't have to. Because there's nothing that we can do. There's no action that we can do to receive this grace and this freedom." Last week, Pastor Jack talked about how we were dead in our sins. We were dead, and though we don't deserve it, God gives us the gift of life, right? The gift of freedom. That's his gift to us. And yet, with this acceptance of this freedom, there is a choice. There is a choice to follow God's will, or there's a choice to follow your own will. Because we are free to choose. That is the freedom we're given. We're free to choose to follow our own path, but we are not free from the consequences of our choices. Because every choice that we make comes with consequences. For example, I am free to eat donuts for every single meal. Right? I'm free. I have that choice. I'm free to do that. What are the possible consequences of that? Well, I would probably gain a lot of weight. I would lack proper nutrition for my body. I would have a higher risk of diabetes and heart disease. That's the consequences of that choice. I'm free to run through every red light. Right, Steve? I'm free to do that. What are the consequences? Well, I could receive a traffic violation. I could go to jail. I could cause a car accident. I could kill somebody. Consequences. Because sometimes the consequences of our actions, of our choices, affect just us, but most often they are affecting other people. So I'm free, again, sorry, to make these choices, but I'm not free from the consequences. So let's go into the word. We're going to be mostly in Galatians today in chapter 5. I'll take a quick drink of water, beginning with verse 13. "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." So here we are reminded not to use our freedom as an excuse to give into our temptations. We're reminded to be responsible and to use wisdom in the choices that we make. Because we talked about consequences. What are the consequences of choosing to follow our path? Well, the Bible tells us. We're going to go down to verse 19. "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear." Here we go. "Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Woo! That's a lot. That's a lot to take in. But I don't think that was enough, actually. I think that we need to have an even clearer understanding. Because a lot of those words feel like, I don't know, what does that really mean? So we're going to read it again. Except this time, I'm going to read it using the Message version of the Bible, just so we can like get a clearer, more current picture of it. Okay, ready? All right. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods, magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions. Ugly parodies of community. I could go on. And this isn't the first time I have warned you. You know, if you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. Wow. That is a tough pill to swallow, right? Because that hits just a little bit too close to home. Because I know that every single person here is struggling in some way with one of these things. Something. Because we're all sinners, right? We all have something. And I know for me, the words in this passage that really hit me are a brutal temper, outbursts of anger. And I know you're like thinking, wait a minute, I know Rachel. She's like calm, cool, collected, level-headed. I don't get angry. Haha. Okay. So, you think that, but growing up, I was known for having a bad temper. I was like known for, do not make Rachel angry. In fact, if you watched home videos of me as a little child, little Rachel running around, you would hear me sounding like this with a raspy voice because I screamed all the time. Yeah, I had holes in my bedroom door. I had arguments with my parents, talking back. That was the big one all the time, talking back. I got into physical altercations with people. Believe it, okay? It happened. And the thing is, this temper that I had did not leave me as I grew older or as I got married or as I had children. I remember this moment, excuse me, in my first house with my husband. I don't even remember like what I was angry about. I don't know what made me angry, but I remember being so angry that I was literally taking dishes out of the cabinet and throwing them on the kitchen floor. Yes. Broken dishes all over the floor, divots in linoleum. You don't believe it, do you? Ask my husband when he's here next service. But it may seem funny, but it was bad. My anger was bringing chaos into my home, into my life. It meant that my family and my husband and my children and myself could not live in peace. Because living like that is not living with the freedom of Jesus Christ. Because these consequences mean that we're still living as slaves to our sin. And we know that's not what God wants for us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to break our chains and to free us. So what do we do? What do we do with that? What do we do with our sinful nature, with our temptation? Guess where we learn the answer? In the Bible. Okay. Galatians 5:24. Sorry. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Friends, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit in every part, Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So what do? We nail our sinful passions and desires to the cross and crucify them. Nail them. Okay, here we go. I get to use a hammer. I told you I was an angry person. So we take our sexual immorality and we nail it. Our idolatry. Did I get in there? Nope. There we go. Our jealousy. Our selfishness. And our brutal temper. And we nail them. Yeah, that one's hard for me, see? Brutal temper. Yeah, thank you. So does that mean that once I nail my sins to the cross, I'm free, I'm good to go? Good to go, all done, never have to think about it again? No, doesn't mean that, because even though we're free, we still live in a broken world. So what that means is that we have to nail our sins to the cross every single day. Yeah. Yeah. In Luke 9:23, straight from the mouth of Jesus, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. So this is a choice that we have to make every single day. But I got good news, you guys, because we do not have to do this on our own. Because guess what? We do not have the power to do this on our own. We don't have the strength to do this on our own. What we have is the Holy Spirit. Yes. We're called into a different life. Galatians 5:25 again says, since we are living by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And then we're going to backtrack to verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. This is not about following the law. This is about following the Holy Spirit. Right? Yeah. And we know, because we know now the consequences of following our own desire. So what happens when we follow the Spirit? Verse 22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And this is the life of true freedom. This is the life that God has called us to live in. You're called to live in this life. So I told you before that I had a temper. Guess what, guys? I still have a temper, okay? I still have one. It's still something that I have to wrestle with every day. It's still something that I have to nail to the cross every day. But I'm also reminded of a better way because of the Holy Spirit power living within me, because of my time spent with Him. That's how I know I'm not alone in this. I don't have to do this on my own. I spend time with my Holy Spirit, with my God, my Savior, in fellowship, being here. He's here with us in worship, giving glory to Him, praising Him, in my times of prayer, and in reading His Word. His Word is the truth. And when you know the truth will set you free, right? So it's through this relationship with Him that I receive peace into my life. It's this peace that I have with Jesus Christ that makes it so you guys don't know that I have an anger problem, because I'm with Him. And He reminds me of the true freedom. And you all have that same choice. We are free to choose, but we are called to live. So my question for you all is, how will you choose to live your life of freedom? So I just want you to think about that for a moment, and we're going to pray. Lord God, as these thoughts are coming into our minds, this shame that we feel from our sinful desires, our temptations, our struggles. We know that we have those because of the broken world that we live in. But we know that You are calling us to a better way. So Lord, I ask for Your Holy Spirit to come and fill this room, to come and fill every single person, so that they are strengthened and empowered to be able to nail their sins to the cross, that You have crucified Yourself to take these sins away. Lord, and that when we follow You, there's a better way. Lord, help our people here to make that choice, to choose to live the life of freedom with You, to be filled with Your love and joy and peace. Lord, that's what we want for all people. Thank You for the gift of Your freedom, Jesus. In Your name, amen.